Have you ever wondered why our beloved hymns were written? What influenced the writers to craft these words that proclaim the gospel? Learn more about the words you love to sing in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Eternal Anthems, The Story Behind Your Favorite Hymns. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Eternal Anthems, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, 1-800-325-3040.
The Lord be with you. And with thy spirit.
That is commonly heard on Sunday mornings, right before a short prayer called the Collect. That's a salutation where the pastor greets the people with that peculiar word, "The Lord be with you." The people respond, "And with your spirit." Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, March the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our series on the historic liturgy continues. We'll talk about the salutation and that prayer called the Collect of the Day. Pastor Sean Denzer, Pastor Will Whedon will be alongside. Then Pastor Peter Bender joins us for part 11 of our series on the St. Peter Option, Living as Exiles in a Foreign Land. Today, LGBTQ versus man and woman made in the image of God. Joining us for our series on the historic liturgy to talk about the salutation and the collect, Pastor Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Sean, welcome.
Thanks. Great to be back.
And Pastor Will Whedon, he formerly served as Director of LCMS Worship. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. And he hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Joy to be with you.
So far in this series, we've talked a fair amount about what the pastor does, reads, prays, things like that. Not exclusively, of course. And someone might say, well, where's the worshiper participation? How do you respond to that?
Lutheran worship is entirely participatory. And I think that's hard for some people because they maybe only focus on what the pastor says. There's a sense in which what the pastor says might be the most important because of this reason. We're interested in what God has to say, and we know that the pastor's duty is to be the preacher of the Word of God. So there's nothing wrong with that. But one of the huge differences, which starts right with the Reformation, is that we don't expect that he's just acting on his own. This is not like pagan worship where you have a priest who does all the work and then we sit around and I guess you have to find a priest if you ever want to talk and deal with God. God deals with all of us by his word. He expects all Christians to come to faith, and his Holy Spirit works faith by that word of God in all of us. And in the worship service, in the divine service that is, for us as Lutherans, we're not really very satisfied if people are just paying attention, if people are just there, that is. We actually want them engaged. We want their faith believing what is said. We want their mouths praying what is said, and their hearts, if nothing else. And that's why there are all sorts of parts of the service that are for the people, and that even if somebody else may be singing or saying it in their place, yet we expect that hearts and minds are engaged because it's the whole Christian community's hearing of God's word and responding in faith and praise and thanksgiving.
I think you had some of this back and forth with the salutation that, it definitely cues that I'm not up here by myself, guys. We are actually offering these prayers together. And I think that's really, in a nutshell, the point of the salutation is to remind everyone, we are in the presence of the Lord together. And this is a we thing, not a me thing, happening up here at the altar. I think in the Middle Ages, it was customary when the salutation was sung by the priest for the choir to be the normal answerer and with your spirit instead of the people. And it kind of is a unique thing that Lutheranism very early on, put that back into the people's mouths. Not that the choir couldn't sing a more elaborate response, but it was very normal to have the people respond to the salutation themselves with singing.
And to understand that even if you had such a situation where the choir was singing the response, they're singing on all our behalf, and we're supposed to be at least thinking it and praying it, if not saying it or singing it as well. The same thing is true for many parts of the service when the pastor is speaking. It's not as if he's the only one who's ever heard of God's word before. And as we come here to the collect of the day, he is not the only one who has the right or privilege of praying to God. I think that's a very helpful distinction that was renewed in the Reformation, is that biblically, the priests, the people who are offering the sacrifices of prayer and good works and all of those other sacrifices, it's not the pastors in particular, it's all Christians.
And if there is a priest in particular, it's the Lord Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
that's why the Lord be with you.
Now, the salutation is more than a greeting, because you can have a greeting. The pastor can be out in the narthex before the service greeting people as they walk in, saying, good morning, welcome to worship.
Howdy.
How is the salutation different than merely saying good morning and then good morning to you? Just an ordinary greeting.
I think if it were just a greeting, it probably would have been the very first thing in the service, as people kind of instinctively start to do, right? If we all gather together, I suppose the most natural thing in the rest of our lives is that we say hello in some way. And so I suppose you could make some kind of argument that maybe the church service, if you were to create it yourself, might start that way. But this salutation is never in that place. It's never the first word of the service. It's never just a greeting. And it would be very strange if it were. Then I suppose we'd be forgetting that we are in each other's presence halfway through, and we'd have to refresh that. And the word salutation, as we use it today, that's all it means. It's a fancy, I guess, an overly pretentious way of saying greetings. That's not at all what this is. But we'll find what its purpose is by looking at where it comes in the service and what it precedes.
And I also think we get a bit of a hint on how to think about it from two places that it shows up in the Old Testament. First of all, it shows up in Scripture in Judges in chapter 6, when verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him, that would be to Gideon, and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. Of course, you remember Gideon wasn't much impressed by that. He's like, well, the Lord is with us. Why are all these awful things happening to us? But the angel is like, nope, the Lord is with you. The is sort of implied, and it's also implied in the salutation. I think that's one of the things that would be worthwhile to get into our heads, is that the way it reads in the Latin was the Lord, you all with, you know, Dominus vobiscum. And so the be is implied, be with you, or it can even be understood as a statement, the Lord is with you, like you have here in Judges 6. Similarly, you have a greeting called out in Ruth chapter 2. And this I think is really important because of who is calling it out. Boaz, right? This is the great granddaddy of David. So this is, we're dealing here with messianic line. And he cries out when he sees his people working in the fields, the reapers, he says to them, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless you. So you have something of a back and forth, a greeting and a response that's more in line with what we have with the salutation and the service here. And I think that all of which points you down to the big salutation that the Archangel Gabriel gives to the Blessed Virgin in Luke chapter 1. You know, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. And so that's the Lord. When we talk about the Lord, and the Lord be with you, I think you need to hear that first and foremost as the Lord Jesus. It's only in and through our high priest Jesus that any of these prayers are going to be offered and accepted at the altar of the Father.
Why does it happen here, Sean?
It happens at a number of places in the service, and this one's maybe a little unique because it happens before something the pastor says on behalf of us. Those who are familiar with the old hymnal from 1941 might remember this especially, trying to divide the service into two parts, the sacrificial elements and the sacramental elements. And the way it kind of distinguished those is by saying, well, which way does the pastor face? Does he face toward the people? That's a sacramental. He's speaking on behalf of God, delivering his goods to us, which is great. Or the sacrificial, he's facing along with us, all in the same direction. He turns his back to us, not because he doesn't like us, but because he's one of us. He's really standing with us at that point, and we're all offering our praises and thanksgivings and gifts, perhaps, in the offering to God. I think that's a fine kind of shorthand, and there are a few places where it maybe gets a little confused. But that principle could be used to say the collect is a little different. The pastor is definitely facing away from us for this, or at the very least, he's facing toward the altar, and he's offering a prayer on behalf of all the people. And this is, I believe, the unique salutation in that position. All the other ones have to do when he's doing one of his most important works, speaking to us as the congregation. So the ones that we're probably most familiar with are before the Lord's Supper. This starts out the whole preface where the pastor sings, and then there's a long proper preface that changes, and we have the Sanctus there right before the sacrament. It's also at the end of the service before he gives a final blessing. And there's one other place in our recent tradition as Lutherans that we don't have, but older Lutherans would have known this. The pastor used to say the salutation right before proclaiming the gospel reading each day, which I think helps to show this is somehow, and we'll discover this, connected with his duties as the minister leading the service and conducting it.
So I want to talk a little bit about the response. So we have three standard responses, but we have the three I can think of are "and with your spirit," or a variation thereof, "and also with you," or "amen."
I mean, obviously, when I indicated three, I was just thinking of "and with thy spirit," "and with your spirit," "and also with you."
What's the difference here? And I know that there's, just to warn our listeners, there are some pastors who get up on their hind legs about this.
Yeah, I think the intention, frankly, is that there be no difference. Certainly there is no difference other than age of the language, maybe, between thy and you. But I don't think it should be seen as if anybody wanted to have a different meaning by saying, "and also with you." But there was a feeling that it was a more modern translation, more contemporary English. And that was especially a really important thing a couple generations ago, to put everything as close as possible into contemporary English. Whereas, for instance, the new hymnal that the Missouri Synod put out in 2007 was not nearly as concerned about that alone, but also with what was familiar to our membership, so that they could actually do their participating, their response easily. And that's why, unfortunately, maybe, we ended up with kind of a confusion where some services have "and with your spirit," or even "and with thy spirit," and some have this "and also with you."
Yeah. What's "and with thy spirit"? What are the people saying?
Oh, this can introduce us into a whole kettle of fish. But let me just go ahead and say it, that when we hear "and with thy spirit," I think there is a sense in which they are confessing that it is the Holy Spirit who is actually the referent to the Spirit, the person. It's a way of confirming the ordination of the one who has greeted them. They're saying, "We are with you in the Lord. We are with you in that same spirit." And that's why, because it's sometimes even been called, I think the term "the little ordination" floats around. It's a way that the people said to the pastor, "We recognize your office. You are performing for us here the office of the Holy Spirit." So if you hear it in that sense, then the Spirit is almost like a capital S. This does not need to fall into the Roman error and heresy of the indelible character of the priest or any of that. That's not the intention. Definitely. But it is a way of confessing that the pastor is a pastor by virtue of the gifts of the Spirit, which are given to him in the ordination and call.
We started with that question of participation for a reason, and that's because you can't just have a pastor and no people, or you don't really have a service. You might just have a private prayer for the pastor, which he probably should do too. But we want people here, and we want Christians to be able to be hearing these words. We're not doing this blindly for God alone. That's not the primary duty of ministers in the New Testament. Their attention is certainly on the Lord. But their attention is on the Lord, just as Jesus kind of says quite clearly to Peter, right? Do you love me? Okay, I have a duty for you to feed my sheep. So in a sense, I've always taught it this way at least, this is the pastor checking in, so to speak, to see if there's anybody out there. Are there any Christians here? And I suppose if nobody responds, and with your spirit, or even and also with you, if nobody responds, there's no Christians here anymore. I guess I close the book and go home. But thankfully, there are Christians here, and they say, please, do your duty. Do your job, Pastor.
Pastor Sean Denzer is our guest. It's our series on the historic liturgy. Today, we're talking about the salutation and the collect of the day, along with Pastor Will Whedon. When we come back, this sometimes gets carried out of the liturgy into the pastoral greeting of his people. We'll talk about that and what gestures may accompany this salutation. Then we'll get to the collect.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we cruise further along in 2 Corinthians with Gospel Light, Jars of Clay, An Eternal Weight of Glory, Our Heavenly Dwelling, and By Faith Not Sight. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Pastor Leonard Payton of St. John Lutheran Church, Forest Park, Illinois. Forest Park being an inner ring suburb of Chicago. We're a mile and a half south of Concordia University, Chicago, and a 10-minute walk from a metro station and the ends of both the Blue Line and the Green Line. If work is moving you to Chicago, consider joining us. If you're visiting Chicago, come worship with us. It's a church for a great city and a great location. Our website is stjohnforestpark.org.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the salutation and the collect in our series on the historic liturgy. Pastor Sean Denzer is our guest, director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and Pastor Will Whedon as well. He's author of the book Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. Pastor Whedon's books are published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy on the Talk on Demand Archives page at issuesetc.org. I'm curious about two things. Sometimes this greeting has been carried out of the liturgy into everyday life. Mm-hmm. And it's my common practice when I am presiding at a service and there are announcements beforehand or something of that nature. Or I'm a guest, often when I'm a guest preacher, doing the liturgy as well, simply, hey, I'm the fill-in. I will greet the congregation before the service begins with, the Lord be with you. And usually the response is a pretty robust, and also with you. Is that appropriate, Pastor Whedon?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what was going on with Boaz, right? You know, he was not in the context of a divine service, but he wanted his people to always remember that they live their lives in the presence of the Lord. And that's what you're doing when you're, you know, you speak this greeting to people, that the Lord is with you or the Lord be with you. And when they respond in some way that indicates, yeah, he's also with you, they are showing, they understand that they are gathered together in the presence of God. no matter where they be. One thing we should point out linguistically that we didn't yet, and that is that the response of the people when they say, "I'm with your spirit," is actually also lifted from the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 22, "The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you." So sort of like Paul's way of saying, sometimes people say, "Well, wait a minute, if you're talking about a disembodied spirit or whatever." No, I mean, the language of spirit is actually the way the New Testament itself speaks. And so we can't be wrong speaking that way. And the Latin has that. It's very clear, "and with your spirit." And likewise, the original Greek liturgy has in it, "and with your spirit."
I don't think there's anything wrong. I mean, it's so natural for the pastor to want to say some variation on "the Lord be with you." We're never acting. We're never like kind of turning the taxicab light off and ignoring our duty from God to speak clearly the word of God to people. So it's most natural for pastors to do that. They might also say something like, "Peace be to this house," as Jesus himself told his apostles to do when he sent them out. But it is funny because people will respond as they're almost programmed, because they've done this since childhood. They'll respond as if we're part of the service. Whether that's desirable or not is an interesting question, but there's certainly nothing wrong with pastors to say "the Lord be with you." So I'd be hard-pressed to tell anybody to stop.
You spoke about which way the pastor faces, and between the salutation and the collect, he is going to turn. Is there any other gesture that accompanies the salutation that you guys want to talk about?
Sure. Usually the pastor kind of opens his, if he's got his hands folded in some way, usually he'll kind of just open them a little bit and kind of a gesture toward you. It doesn't have to be dramatic by any means. There is a part actually for the congregation as well, if they want to participate. Since this is a promise, as Pastor Wheaton said, it's not just that the Lord might be with you or something. The Lord is with you. The Lord be with you. Since it is, I mean, that is a blessing to hear that the Lord has not abandoned us and he's for us and not against us. So to bow your head slightly, just in a sense receive that blessing, is totally appropriate. In turn, you might, if you had your hands folded, also just make a small open hand gesture toward the pastor and with your spirit, or and also with you, at which he will bow at that point to recognize the congregations. This is the only place, by the way, in the service where there's any kind of bowing toward each other. It's common in Asian countries, but it's not the way the service is. We are not bowing to the God in each other by any means, which would definitely be a pagan idea. Nor is it just simply that we're recognizing each other, "glad you showed up today" or something. But as we've said, this is recognizing a part of the service where the pastor is going to be doing his most serious work to speak the gospel to us, to give us the Lord's Supper, to give us his blessing, or to offer our prayers as we're looking at here.
Well, where is the pastor standing at this point? We haven't really talked about those important locations in the chancel, be it ever so humble or elaborate, that do carry meaning with them when the pastor moves there or stands there.
Well, he is traditionally standing at this point before the altar itself. I mean, he's sort of located himself at the altar from the moment of the intro. As to which side of the altar or whether he's in the center of the altar, that has a lot to do with how much attendant ceremony you're going to be putting into your service. But the key factor is he's at the altar. He's standing at the altar, and he's going to turn back to the altar. From the altar, he turns to give the peace to the people, and he turns back to the altar to offer up the prayers after inviting them to pray.
As a class of prayers, what is a collect? Pastor Danzer.
A collect is a written prayer that is a full package by itself. It's going to go from an address to God all the way to an amen, and the amen is the response. That's it. So all of the thoughts, all of the content of the prayer is going to be said by one person, and there'll be an amen. It's maybe different than some of the ones that we do at the prayer of the church or in other places in the service, or that ectene form, Kyrie, that we talked about, where there's a litany, a response by the people that comes the same to varied prayers. So this one's all a package up by itself.
And it's probably worth thinking about that. I mean, the idea of collect, that it maybe collects, that, I mean, there is not 100% agreement among scholars as to what that's actually referring to, but I do think it is a very distinct possibility that this particular form of prayer was not originally at this spot. It was originally part of the intercessions, and in the intercessions, the deacon would tell the people, let us pray for the church. And they would get, and then they would be instructed to get on their knees, and they would all pray individually, privately, silently for the church. And then at a cue from the deacon or subdeacon, they would stand, and then the pastor would speak out the prayer. He would collect all of the people's prayers into a single short, pithy prayer that generally formed a single sentence, and offer that to God. And basically what we have in our collects at the beginning of the service is the, I mean, you can sort of see it to this day, by the way, in that same spot in the bidding prayer that the church uses on Good Friday. That's one of the oldest pieces of the liturgy. And that is how in the Church of Rome, prayers were made for a long, long, long time. It took a long time to pray them that way, but it's a beautiful way of praying. And I think that that's what you have going on with the collect. Notice then that you don't have a specific bid, because you're going to be praying for a variety of things. So it's, let us pray, dot, 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 dot. And then you move into the actual prayer itself, which will again be one sentence usually.
That's very interesting, right? So the all the dot, 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 the place for people to offer their own petitions, which I think was done silently or quietly under their breath, that's kind of lost today. And we just have the pastors summing it all up. But you see how it is just very difficult to try and let every member of the congregation get up and say something. And it would be almost even more difficult to say one thing that would encompass specifically, in detail, and fully every single thought or need or difficulty or concern of the congregation. And that's not our intention here, because every Christian has a duty to pray as well. And we're not trying to say the only real people who pray are the pastors, so we'll let them say the words and we won't get to say something. No, we have our opportunities both outside the service and even in the service, and the pastor then is going to sum things up in one prayer. Carry on.
Well, there's a Southern practice. I grew up with it and I didn't realize it wasn't common. But in a fairly liturgical church, kind of an old hymnal church that I grew up in, not a lot of fol-de-rol during these days, we did have occasionally the pastor before the prayer of the church, not the collect, would just say, are there any petitions that you want to bring? And he'd take out a piece of paper and people would, it was a really rather helpful thing. People would stand and mention something and he'd write it down, and then he would kind of on the fly incorporate it into the church, into the larger prayer, the prayer of the church. And I thought it was a nice pastoral touch. And especially since the pastor did not abuse it in any way. What are your thoughts there, Will?
Well, I mean, in a sense, that's carrying forward the old diptychs, you know, which were like written prayer. Who's going to be remembered and commemorating the prayers that's listed and put up on the altar in front of the pastor? So it's in his face as he's actually saying the prayers. Not that they did it during the service, gathering them, but they did it before the service and collected the concerns that were going to be offered that day and the ones that were specifically commemorated in given localities. But I think the idea of the, I mean, that all that works with the prayer of the church.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely
not part of the, I mean, my only comment about the collect and the bidding prayer is that the form comes from the bidding prayer, but it has a very different function at the beginning of the liturgy, where it's always kind of opened up toward the Word of God, and it asks for things that are really huge. I mean, if you just go and make a list of all the things that the collects teach us to ask for, it's a shockingly huge list of wonderful, big-size gifts from God. And the more that we learn to ask these big gifts, the more we have our eyes open to see when God grants them to us. So I think that the historic collects actually are a wonderful gift that way, but they're not focus narrowly and specifically on the individual needs of, you know, this or that family. It's more like the universal needs of the church.
Pastor Will Wheadon is our guest. He hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, along with Pastor Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It's our series on the historic liturgy. We're talking about the salutation and the collect. Well, they had mentioned that this was a written prayer. These are not only written prayers. These are prayers that are pretty standard on any given Sunday. We'll answer the objection that that stifles prayer after this. Have you ever wondered why our beloved hymns were written? What influenced the writers to craft these words that proclaim the gospel? Learn more about the words you love to sing in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Eternal Anthems, The Story Behind Your Favorite Hymns. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Eternal Anthems, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, 1-800-325-3040.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Do you know a child with autism, dyslexia, ADHD, or Down syndrome? Do you have a student who needs an effective yet more gently paced education? We invite you to visit simplyclassical.com for a complete academic curriculum rooted in the truth of God's Word, the mercy of forgiveness, and the peace of Christ. From Memoria Press, simplyclassical.com, promo code LPR22.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland; Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska; Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa; Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas; Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California; St. John Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin; St. Paul Lutheran, Cedar, Michigan; Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska; and Zion Lutheran, Gwinner, North Dakota. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. That is the Collect for Peace. By the way, my favorite collect. It does in every situation without regard to what you're going through. We're talking about the salutation and the collect of the day with Pastors Sean Denzer and Pastor Will Whedon. Okay, so let's talk about the fact that this, as you mentioned before, is a written prayer. These are written, some of them were written down a long, long time ago. And they're pretty standard for the Sundays they're supposed to fall on, even with our kind of mixed up jumble of the three-year lectionary. They're still pretty standard. How would you respond, Pastor Whedon, to someone who says, written prayers, if you have to have them, but this kind of praying is going to stifle Christian prayer?
Well, if we remember that prayers are always offered in and through the Word of God, that the Word of God becomes the foundation from which we learn how to pray. I mean, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, we must learn to pray from the richness of the Word of God and not from the poverty of our own hearts. There are times that your heart is empty and you have nothing to say. You don't know where to go. And so what do? You take up the Word of God and begin to pray it. The church's written prayers tend to be chocked full of the Word of God, enable us then to offer prayers that have helped Christians through horrible times and many, many previous centuries.
It's a great misunderstanding to think that the Holy Spirit is characterized most by spontaneity. We don't believe that, particularly because he's caused his word to be written, both by the prophets, but also in the New Testament by the apostles. And we have so many examples of prayers in the Bible. Jesus himself, when his disciples say, "How do we pray? Teach us," right? They expect one that he's going to teach them something. Maybe it's
a
method.
When you pray, say.
Yeah, but he doesn't teach a method. He says, say this, right?
Yeah.
And the Psalms, of course, are quoted by Jesus constantly, so he is not offended by this. He's praying them as he's dying on the cross, we hear. And you see that in Acts 2:42, that simple, beautiful definition of the church, right? And your translation may not bring this out, but it's very clear that not only did they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, but also to the prayers. And it does say the prayers. We don't know exactly precisely what those are, but certainly includes those Psalms and the mm-hmm. Lord's Prayer, and likely the beginnings of some of these prayers that were continued and kept. So, and the other reason is just what we said before. These are not private prayers here. The church is doing this gathered as a group, and of necessity then, if you're going to do something as a group, you probably have to prepare. And that's not primarily a matter of choreography or anything like that, but it certainly is to have these prayers written down and learned. And regardless, even if the whole congregation is not speaking them all together, which they rarely do, it's a very difficult thing, actually, to speak together as a unison. And that's why kids often used to practice this, right? 67 years ago, we had to practice and learn how to do that. The Creed and the Lord's Prayer are about the only place in our society we do that anymore. But even when we don't, the people do have a very important word that should never be maligned. And that's the word amen. It's their word to say, and it's not a yes man kind of word. It's a word that we reserve for what is true. Amen means true. Yes, yes, it shall be so. This is most certainly true. And so when the congregation utters their amen, this is sure and certain. So yeah, everybody is participating in it.
And it even gets to be a title of Jesus in the book of Revelation, right? He's the amen.
Yeah.
I mean, so and Paul comes real close to that in 2 Corinthians. So Paul would teach us that through Jesus, we utter our amen to God. It is most certainly true. And that is just a huge word. I mean, I remember hearing Dr. Nagel once comment on, you know, it's always striking what a big deal this amen is in the New Testament. We take it so for granted, but it's absolutely a key to understanding the people's worship is that God speaks to them and they amen back to him.
And that means when you say amen, that collect, even if somebody else wrote it, even if it's very old, and even if you didn't even say it out loud, it's yours.
My prayer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, these collects have a certain form. And I'm really curious as to how that form came to be, but almost without exception, they follow a form also due to their extreme brevity. These are short mm-hmm. prayers. What is that form?
Well, it usually begins with an address. So you're talking to God. The shortest one just literally begins, God. they can be much bigger than that. Oh, God, our Heavenly Father, whatever. Then there's a rationale for what you're getting ready to ask for. Oh, God, who created heaven and earth in 6 days by your almighty power, you know, so he has almighty power. Then there's the request you're making, the petition, you name it out. This is what we're asking for, Heavenly Father, God, who created heaven and earth by your almighty power, grant us faith in your almighty word. And why? The benefit? So that we might finally come to the enjoyment of the life that you have prepared in your kingdom. And then the termination, always connecting it through Jesus or somehow to the Trinity. So through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. There are a handful of collects addressed to the Son rather than to the, so they are not offered through Christ, but that's about the only exception to that particular rule.
Another exception is, and I'm thinking here about probably Advent and Lent may have, the penitential seasons may break the form a little bit where they just say, come down or stir up, or they start with the request.
Yeah, those are Advent.
Advent, yeah. Advent has the stirrup prayers.
Yeah, and true, this collect of the day spot sometimes has forms of prayers that aren't quite in the full collect form that we're going to lay out here. But the collects are used in other places. They end up getting used throughout the week at Matins and Vespers and the other daily offices. And of course, they're fitting for people to use in their own devotion. And you will still find collects put into the hymnal in our current hymnal, and in older hymnals, they often were there so you could see all the collects of the year too.
That's the one thing I miss in Lutheran service book, is not having a page where I can find my collects.
Number one stupidity of the book is not to have the collects.
So is there a biblical pattern here that we're following in praying these collects in this way, Pastor Dan?
There is. As director of worship, I am so glad that the Bible followed our rules that we laid out for it. But actually, I mean, it just goes to show, little did we know, that this is something the church didn't make up. They didn't impose it upon Christians, but it's something they got from the early church. We find in Acts chapter 4 when Peter and John are arrested and said, okay, we'll let you go as long as you don't talk about Jesus. And they say, well, that's going to be hard because we're going to keep talking about Jesus. They get back to the congregation. And this is great, right? Because the congregation is the one who prays this great prayer in Acts 4. Listen to how it goes and listen for those parts, the address, the rationale, which is great. It's going to be directly a quote from the Bible. We're going to have the petition, what we're asking for. We're going to have the benefit, what's going to come about because of this. And we're going to have a termination, which always is some form of in Jesus' name, right? Mm-hmm. Here it is. Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, Psalm 2, why did the Gentiles rage, the peoples plot in vain, the kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his Christ, anointed one. For truly in this city we're gathered together against your holy servant Jesus. And by the way, that word servant can also mean child. Whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with all the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Notice, the Lord was in charge this whole time. Well now, Lord, look upon their threats, and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy child, Jesus. They didn't say amen there, but the place was shaken. So this has that whole form, right? The address, Sovereign Lord who made heaven and earth. We have the rationale, the statement from the scriptures, and also what has happened here in their time. Now, Lord, look upon their threats and let us keep speaking with boldness. Let it be so that your hand would stretch out to heal and signs and wonders be performed through the name of your holy child, Jesus. So we have so many prayers that end, right? Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit. Exactly this form. And in this prayer, it's a little ambiguous, right? Are they saying that the prayer is offered in Jesus' name, kind of as a direct response to what Jesus said? Anything you ask in my name, the Father will grant it. Or is it saying that what they're asking for, right, the signs and wonders would be performed through Jesus' name? That ambiguity is intentional, and that ambiguity shows up all over the place in the collect. So I invite you, as you're listening to it, as you're getting ready to say your amen, just listen to how whatever is said could only be possible and is sure and certain, amen sure, because it is through Jesus Christ. So that great peace prayer, right, that only the Lord gives peace like this, and that our hearts would be set to obey his commandments. All of these things can only happen through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ. And that's why it ends with that termination.
We're talking about the salutation and the collect in our series on the historic liturgy. Our guest is Pastor Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and Pastor Will Whedon, host of the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio, called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Pastor Whedon is leading a study this week on the light of the gospel, treasure in jars of clay, and our heavenly dwelling in 2 Corinthians chapters 4 and 5. Listen anytime, anywhere at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Whedon.
if you've ever had a conversation with somebody who's a charismatic or a Roman Catholic or somebody who's in Eastern Orthodoxy, over and again, when you talk about sola scriptura, you might get a rebuke. You might get a rebuke to the effect of sola scriptura is a man-made doctrine. This is what they claim.
Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith talking about his presentation at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And so I always like to take a challenge like that. And so what I'm going to be doing at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference is I'm going to be using scripture alone to demonstrate the concept of sola scriptura, that it is the only authority that we can look to.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case for Scripture alone at this year's Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Sanctifying your commute with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Scripture tells us to not neglect the gathering of the saints. For too long, many of our churches have been shuttered and our gatherings curtailed. During this Lenten season, it is time to beautify our sacred spaces and return to our traditions. Ad Crucem is having a sale on our church banners. For the month of March, our banner prices will be reduced by up to 30%. Visit adcrucem.com to take advantage of this incredible pricing. That's adcrucem.com.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Salutation and the Collect in our series on the Historic Liturgy with Pastor Will Whedon and Pastor Sean Denzer. You had mentioned some of this before, gentlemen, but we do need to talk about that termination of the prayer through Jesus, in Jesus, obviously reflective of in Jesus' name. What does that mean and what does it not mean, Sean?
Jesus says, right, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will grant you. What it doesn't mean is that this is kind of the tagline, like this is the price you put on it, or this is the magic words, right? If you say please, then mom will give you the candy, and not until you say please. It's not that, and it's certainly not a magic word, abracadabra, open sesame, and then now God will answer my secret prayers because I had the right formula. None of this is about the proper formula. It's about faith. In Jesus, all of our prayers are yes and amen, as you quoted from 1 Corinthians. In Jesus, our sacrifices and prayers are cleansed so that they can be heard by God. It is on His sacrifice, as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, that we then bring our individual supplications and have certainty that the Father will hear us, because He's the Son of God, and we are now brought in to be sons, children of the Father, too.
I remember hearing Dr. Nagel explain it that, you know, you take all the promises of God and you dump them all into a hat, and then you put around the hat the name of Jesus. He said, whatever is in the name of Jesus, it is yours. Pull it out, because all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. So whatever is in the name of Jesus is whatever God has promised you in His word, in His Son. And so when we make those prayers, we're always making them through His mediation, through His sacrifice on our behalf.
One of my pet peeves is when pastors rush the liturgy. It had really infected a generation of pastors immediately before us. Just in casual observation, guys who were about 10, 15 years older than me had a tendency to rush the liturgy and just unintentionally telegraph that this stuff isn't that important. It's pro forma. I'm just getting through it. Words of institution, or the second place it happens most often, ending a collect with these common words.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yes, because they're so common, but ending it, you're speaking the name of the one, you're even saying one God. You're speaking the name of the Trinity, slow down.
It's one of the great advantages actually of chanting the salutation and the call. I mean, chanting makes you go slower. And that, I think, is a beautiful advantage of actually just singing these prayers to God. And they have their own form for being, actually two forms for chanting them. So beautiful, easy to do.
So let's do some favorites, if you don't mind. Pastor Denzer, I know that there are a lot of them.
Sure.
And I've already mentioned mine, but what are your favorites and why?
I think yours is a great choice. I want to talk about the collective piece too. It originally comes, as far as I can tell, from the old propers for the divine service for peace. I don't know if everybody's ready to read Maccabees. That was the old epistle. And actually, the Lutherans kept reading it. Mm-hmm. But that prayer lasted longer even than the service. And it's so beautiful. And just to say, right, peace, which this world can never give, right? We are not so small in our prayers as to pray for world peace. That's too small, right? We want the peace that this world will never give to us, and that's found in Jesus Christ, right? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. I wanted to bring up a good example of sometimes these collects can almost collect all the thoughts of the day and be a great summary for the day. A great example for that is the old one for the first Sunday in Lent. It didn't quite fit with all of the various lectionary readings, I don't think, and that's why they changed it somewhat. But the old prayer definitely fit in with the idea that Jesus is wrestling with the devil. His temptation is the gospel for that day. We sing, "A mighty fortress is our God," as the hymn of the day of Lent 1. And here's the little prayer. "O Lord, mercifully hear our prayer, and stretch forth the right hand of your majesty to defend us from them who rise up against us." That one definitely doesn't quite follow the whole five-section form. But it's very simple. But notice, defending us against those who are rising up against us, right? We're beginning this season of spiritual warfare, and from the outset we're saying, "Lord, defend us," right? You're the one who's going to get us through this. A fantastic little prayer, and one that then can almost be uttered throughout the whole season. Would you want to talk about the Good Friday one there, Will?
"Behold this, your family."
Yeah.
I mean, that's really short and concise. It's a beautiful prayer. It's not one that I would have had on my list. It's one of my favorites.
Well, great. You tell us what's on your list.
We've got about 2 minutes
here. Okay, but real quickly, since we're not supposed to rush through these, right? "Almighty and everlasting God, who art always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve, pour down upon us the abundance of thy mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord." The collect for Trinity 11 is probably my all-time favorite collect.
It's on my list too. Amen. I also like the one for the Sunday right before it. "O God, who declares your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant us such a measure of your grace that, running the way of your commandments, we may obtain your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord."
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
A quick final question for you, Will. Are we now in the service of the word, or are we closing the service of preparation?
This actually should be regarded, I think, as the beginning of the service of the word itself proper. I mean, we obviously know the intro. It has already sort of introduced us to that. But the collect is most certainly aimed toward the proper hearing of the word of God. And in fact, in Alexandria, there was an invariable collect that usually began the service of the word.
Sean, we've got about a minute here. Next time, we are going to be talking about this next big section that we have of the three sections of the divine service. What's in store for us as we begin that?
We're going to get to hear the word of God. That's kind of silly to say, since we've been hearing nothing but the word of God, you know, and even these prayers are based on the word of God. But we're going to do something that very few churches do anymore, especially Protestant churches. And that is, we are going to read significant portions of the Bible with no comment. We're going to let God's word speak to us. I don't know what could be better or more important for Christians than that.
Pastor Sean Denzer is Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You'll find links to LCMS worship at issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Sean, thank you.
You're welcome.
Pastor Will Whedon formerly served as Director of LCMS Worship. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. And he hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, thank you.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
In hour two, we continue our St. Peter Option series with Pastor Peter Bender talking about LGBTQ versus man and woman made in the image of God.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstatt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstatt.org.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of his family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in his ways.